This is Women's Rights, a podcast about women's ordination, written and produced by students at Smith College. Hi, I'm Madeline.
And I'm Lily.
We're your hosts for this episode of Women's Rights. This season, we are exploring the story of women's ordination in Conservative Judaism, the United Church of Christ, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, the Buddhist Churches of America, and among Evangelical Protestants. To do so, we've interviewed women in each of these traditions, talking about women's ordination activism and the experience of being ordained. In this episode, we're going to look at the United Church of Christ. We're going to talk to Reverend Sarah Buteau about her experience growing up evangelical and pursuing ordination as a woman in the UCC.
The United Church of Christ, or the UCC, is a Christian denomination formed in the 1950s. It was formed by the union of two denominations, the Congregational Christian Churches and the Evangelical and Reformed Church. Both groups were made up of Congregationalist churches and ordained women prior to the formation of the UCC. Today, the UCC is one of the leading denominations for women's ordination, as women make up 50% of the clergy in the UCC.
Reverend Sarah Buteau grew up attending a conservative Baptist church that did not ordain women, nor view women as equals. We asked Reverend Sarah if she had any ordained women or female spiritual leaders in her life growing up, and how the presence or lack of role models impacted her. She told us about how her grandmother impacted her journey to ordination.
But I was taught from a very young age that women cannot be pastors. There is a limit to this. My grandmother, however, was the first woman to teach a mixed gender Sunday school class. And a lot of men walked out and thought it was just so inappropriate. But she was so good as a teacher that eventually most of them joined her class. And then that opened the door for a little bit of liberalization, if you will. When I was about 11, my grandmother gave me a tract. In my church, there was this whole wall of tracts or little tiny pamphlets. It was just like, it would have a question on the front, like, can I marry somebody outside the faith? And then it would be a little thing, like a little essay about why, no, you cannot. And one of them was, can women be pastors? It talked about all the women leaders in the Old Testament, Deborah, one of the judges, Rahab, Ruth, just all these different women who had positions of influence or leadership. And then it talked about all the passages in the New Testament that say women need to be silent and men have headship over women or whatever. And so it concluded that even though there were women leaders in the Bible, it looks like by the time the canon was being closed, the answer is no. But there was a little asterisk. And if you went down to the footnote, it said, but it would seem that sometimes God makes exceptions. And my grandmother highlighted that and she passed it to me.
Like many Baptist churches, Reverend Sarah's church did not view women as equally capable of leadership as men.
I mean, I had really been raised in an environment where women were not just second-class citizens, they were subhuman.
Despite the limitations placed on women in the Baptist church, Reverend Sarah found ways to forge her own path to religious leadership. One example of this was her role in her church's worship band.
So for the 15 minutes before church officially started, I was the leader of the band that got everybody singing. And then we would stop by like normal church time. So if you didn't like that kind of music, you just came at normal time and then worship would start. But it got more and more popular. And I was weaving in prayers to that time. And I don't know, I think I was starting, not preaching, but definitely setting a tone, speaking up front, sharing the scriptures and getting us all prepared for worship and then passing it over to the pastor. And it was really clear that there was a charisma there. There was something that was starting to make people really uncomfortable.
We asked Sarah how she decided to leave her Baptist church, and she described beginning to question some aspects of her faith when she attended Smith College, specifically regarding women's and LGBTQ+ rights. As an inquisitive student, she had a tendency to ask uncomfortable questions within religious groups on campus, and this would eventually lead to her decision to leave the Baptist church.
There's some things about my worldview that are not holding up here. So my faith was starting to deconstruct a little and get a little wobbly there with Bible. And then I went to a retreat of Campus Crusade, and I was asking my big question that just tormented me day and night. It really, the whole idea of people being condemned to hell for not believing what we believed really bothered me, because I knew and loved so many people who would fall into that category. So I was just bringing up my usual question of how can a good and loving God condemn people for not believing what we believe about that God. That doesn't seem very good or loving. And I think I'd asked this question one too many times because I got taken out of the retreat by the leader. And she said to me, "Do you know what your problem is?" And I said, "What is my problem?" And she said, "You love people more than you love God." And I got sent home. I got sent back to campus.
Interestingly enough, this experience was a big part of what led Sarah to realize that she had been called to ministry.
So I went back to my dorm room in Baldwin, right on Bedford Terrace there, and I got down on my knees and I renounced my salvation. I said to God, "I believe in you, but I'm not going to go to heaven if it means all these other people are going to go to hell. I can't do that. So I'm going to just stay outside with them. And I can't go to heaven on these terms." And that's when my call to ministry came. I'm just on my knees there. And I felt God say to me, "I want you to go and tell anyone and everyone who thinks that for whatever reason, I do not love them, that they all have a place in the heart of God." And I felt that so strongly. So I started applying to divinity schools for graduate school. In divinity school, that's where I saw my first woman preach. And I went and told my Baptist pastor back home. And he said to me in a very kind way, he said, "Yes, I think you are called, but you can't come back here. They're not going to accept you here." And it wasn't a casting me out. It was protecting me and saying to me, "I see you. I see you for who you really are. But this place is never going to accept that. So just don't even waste your energy here. Go somewhere new. Find your way."
Sarah knew she had to leave her conservative Baptist church at this point, but it wasn't until she started at Harvard Divinity School that she made her decision on what denomination to convert to. She describes the surrealness of her first day.
The first day they have you meet with your denominational advisor. You know what denominations are, like the UCC or Baptist. And I knew I couldn't be conservative Baptist anymore. So I was sitting in them. I was the only one just still sitting there when everybody went off to their people. And I'm just sitting there. And the director of the program came and sat down next to me and said, "There's no such thing as generic ordination. You're going to have to pick another church." And that was really hard. I mean, that was like a really defining moment for me. Initially, I actually picked the Swedenborgian Church, which you've probably never heard of. It's a very tiny denomination that has a little tiny beautiful chapel on Harvard's campus. Mm-hmm. And I met another prospective student when I was touring divinity schools who was Swedenborgian. So, and I had an academic interest already in mysticism. He was a mystic. So I said to the guy, the director of the program, I said, "Could I go explore the Swedenborgians?" And he said, "Sure, whatever."
Because the Swedenborgian church is so small, Sarah eventually switched to the UCC because the two are very similar in theology. The UCC stands in stark contrast to Sarah's conservative Baptist upbringing. When asked about expectations of equality inside the UCC today, Sarah had overwhelmingly positive things to say, but clarifies that congregations across the country can be very different from one another.
There's the UCC leadership, and then there's what you find in each individual congregation. Yeah. And depending on where you are in the country, you could have a pretty conservative congregation or a very liberal one. Amongst the clergy themselves, though, who are really well educated, and the leadership of the UCC, those all tend to be really, really progressive. So as a woman, I feel great. I feel very well supported and surrounded by other women clergy. I was at a whole bunch of clergy from Massachusetts went to this conference once, and I was looking around the room at all the other clergy in the UCC, and I saw so many women, so many LGBTQ people. And this was probably 10 years ago. So many pastors who had transitioned, who were trans but had fully transitioned one way or the other, who were ordained. And all of us, almost all of us, either had been raised Catholic or evangelical, and brought very strong gifts and very strong callings into the UCC. And all of us had been summarily rejected by the churches of our upbringing. And so I'm in this room full of all of these incredible clergy who have given up everything to follow this call. So like I said, like I had to really give up my family, not just my church. There, your call has to be so strong to do that, to walk away from that. So I was just in this room with these incredibly powerful people, all of whom had suffered tremendous rejection that hadn't caused them to turn away from God or the church. And their gifts were so strong. I thought, what a waste. I mean, these other churches have lost just incredibly gifted people. And what a gift to us that we all can find healing here and belonging and exercise our gifts. So for to me, the UCC, you could kind of look at like the island of misfit toys. I think we all felt like a misfit where we were raised, but it turns out we all like have superpowers. So it's an amazing community to pastor in.
Now Reverend Sarah is the pastor for the historic First Churches of Northampton. She can now act as the representation of ordained women that she lacked in the religious organization that she grew up in. We asked Sarah how she hopes seeing a woman as a religious leader will impact the youth in her congregation.
I love what I do, and I love that all these children get to see a strong woman leader who loves what she does, who is in an environment where she is respected for what she does. I'm not saying my congregation is perfect and I don't encounter sexism and all of that, which you do. But on the whole, it feels like a really spiritually healthy environment for these kids to grow up in. And I feel really good about what they're seeing, the church they're experiencing. And I sometimes wonder now, like the boys growing up, do they think, you know, it'd be weird for a man to be a minister? I don't know. But I think they are experiencing a woman who is a strong speaker, a strong leader. And yet, I, you know, we've got men and women in leadership. We've got lots of trans people. I think it just feels like a really healthy and inclusive environment. And because I was raised in such a way that I thought I was less than just fundamentally because of who I was, it makes me really sensitive and to how that impacts other people when they're told, well, because you're gay, there's something like inherently wrong with you, or because you're a person of color, you're not as good as somebody who is white. Like all the isms and white supremacy and all of that, I think it just gives me just a tiny bit more sensitivity to that and openness to understand how destructive that is and combating that actively, dismantling that. So I think I feel really good about it. I've raised both of my children in my church, and the church they see in the media is so different from the church they experience on a Sunday morning.
Though she grew up in a denomination that does not ordain women, Reverend Buteau is able to forge a path to ordination as a woman. She points out how the children growing up in the UCC today will always know that women can be ordained. This shows the importance of representation inside religious settings, especially considering that there are many religious denominations that still do not ordain women. Most notably, America's two largest churches, the Southern Baptist Convention and the Roman Catholic Church. Many women seeking ordination will face significant obstacles. But with role models like Reverend Sarah, the future for ordained women looks brighter. In our next episode, we will look at the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America and interview another Northampton area religious leader, Pastor Steph Smith.
That concludes our podcast for today. Our theme music was Bird Therapist by Craig MacArthur, used by a attribution, non-commercial, share-alike Creative Commons license. Special thanks to Reverend Sarah Buteau. Also thanks to Dan Bennett and Meredith Richter of the Smith Learning, Research, and Technology team. And thanks to the Religion Department that supports public-facing student writing at Smith College. Tune in next time on Women's Rights.